In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the fondest memories from my younger days is road trips with our family to the United States. I remember the first time driving through West Virginia. Quite apart from the very beautiful landscape, I remember seeing three crosses at regular intervals at the side of the highways. We don't see that here. We do see the occasional scripture passage on a church sign, sometimes even on ours. There is that message on the Richmond Street ramp of the gardener that reads, "Prepare to meet thy God." But we have nothing as vivid as Golgotha displayed through the car window every few miles. It is a sure sign that one has entered the Bible Belt. Well, whether we think it extreme or strange or typically American, it actually is a stark reminder about the centrality of the cross, that Jesus died a horrible death for us, and that he was not crucified alone. This is the week in particular that proclaims Jesus died for us, for you and for me, for the person next door, for the person we do not know, for the person we don't want to know or never will know. Many people are willing to lay down their lives courageously for the cause of freedom. For loved ones, people are willing to do the same. When your child is trapped in the burning house, you go in at all costs. And we do see people risking it all for complete strangers. But what about those who society deems unlovable? Are we willing to risk it all for the great unwashed of humanity? We just heard Luke's powerful version of the story. It is called a passion because it stirs deep emotion within us. God's love, God's caritas, that sacrificial love, means that Jesus died for each of us individually and for humanity as a whole. In Christ, God gives the world his all. He does it even when we turn our backs on him, when we reject him, when we spit on him, even when we join the crowd in shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Two kingdoms and two kings are in conflict this week. One appears weak but is the more powerful. It is the kingdom of life and of light. The other is the kingdom of death and darkness that always asserts pretended, trumped up, empty pomp and power. But true power, almighty power, is actually not of this world. It is hidden and humble, open always for its subjects to recognize and submit to its rule. Pilate asks, "Are you a king?" Jesus answers, "You say that I'm a king." And Pilate puts his signature to that by writing the title, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews," and enabling it to be placed on the cross. The title is nailed up, just as the subject is nailed up. And there on the cross is where we see Christ showing his power by hiding his power. Pilate, with all of his worldly power, becomes a pawn. And so here we have two kingdoms, two kings in conflict. Now back to the image of the three crosses. Jesus did not die alone. And if we thought the conflict was finished when Jesus was sent to Calvary, we realize it goes on even as he hangs there between the crucified convicts. The Gospels testify that Jesus was crucified with others. Only St. Luke records the words spoken and shared between them. Two kingdoms, two kings in conflict. Even in that moment of deepest darkness and pain, Jesus is drawing people to himself. Kings visited him. Simeon lifted him up in the temple. Disciples dropped their nets to follow him. The sick came for his help. Noble folk like Nicodemus sought him out. Even Pilate, we suspect, was both intrigued and disturbed. Jesus somehow drew all these people to himself. But when it came down to it, at the end, he was left with two criminals. And at the end of the line, he was still doing the work of redemption. Jesus causes a reaction, a response of some kind. If not, then we're not listening. Those crucified with him represent the battle of the two kingdoms. They're there because they have done something wrong. One criminal mocks him. If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. And that's the kingdom of this world speaking, the kingdom that focuses on the self. Are we like him? Do we see the Lord's power only in the good things he does for us? Do we recognize his power in suffering? We don't want to be associated with anything as awful as atonement for sin. And yet Jesus reaches into our souls. Sometimes our reaction is loud and angry, focused on the wrong things. Jesus does not rebuke him. It's the other criminal who does. Do you not fear God? And we are here because we deserve to die. But this man has been unjustly condemned. He turns to the Lord and says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Not save me and yourself. Remember me. It is actually a very humble request, certainly of desperation, but I think it is also a cry of contrition and of faith. To remember in the biblical context is not just to think back to the past. It comes from the Greek anamnesis, which means to make present. And Jesus says, today you shall be with me in paradise. And so these crucified criminals represent the two kingdoms in conflict. And maybe they represent the battle in us, our various and different responses to the Lord. Sometimes we are like the one, rebellious, scornful, selfish, clinging to the familiar, resisting that transforming power of God. Sometimes we are like the other, repentant and vulnerable, desperate for the Lord's mercy. Through repentance, through vulnerability, through trust, we come to find the amazing grace of God, the love that is not of this world, but is at work transforming this world. Christ's arms are outstretched to embrace the whole human family and the world which he so dearly loves. And each of us has power of some kind. We can use it to build something just for ourselves, or we can use it sacrificially in the service of God and his kingdom. And so it is we have now begun the journey of Holy Week, the journey of conflict and the journey of hope. In the words of T.S. Eliot, we see three trees on a low sky, three crosses, the reminder of Christ's death for us. An act of condemnation becomes the means of grace. And Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw the whole world to myself. Take some time this week to meditate upon that holy cross and give thanks for all the benefits we receive from the one who died for us and for our salvation. May you all have a very blessed Holy Week. Amen.